Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. For all those people that might be unfamiliar with my voice, my name is Peter Mingles. We started Building Fortunes Radio about 10 years ago. This month, roughly speaking, I think, we started actually towards the tail end of 2012 with a separate radio show with a friend of ours. We called it The Dash, and then I knew I needed to do something specific and for myself, so we called it Building Fortunes Radio, and I wanted a platform for me to be able to house, if you will, people that were, you know, good, smart, hardworking people, people that had a voice I thought you wanted to listen to, and we have a lot of guests. On tonight's radio spot, which we do every Wednesday at 11 p.m. Eastern, Ray Gebauer shares this part of our Building Fortunes radio station. And Ray and I met many, many, many years ago when he was building a home-based business, and he was a guest speaker with a friend of mine. Her name is Kim Claver, and she was known as Miss Stud back then. I don't think she calls herself Miss Stud then, but she was really good and really super smart as well, and had Ray there, and he was talking about what it took to actually effectively be a leader and build a home-based business. And I was so impressed. We started working together a little bit, and then a couple of things happened. One was I did a speaking spot for a friend of mine, wound up in Washington, the state, and I said, you know, somebody lives in this city. I know somebody lives in this city. So I called Ray Gebauer and said, hey, Ray, you're in this city, aren't you? And he said, well, I'm too busy to see you today, but I could see you tomorrow at church. So I went to church with Ray Gebauer. I'm sure Ray Gebauer might remember it. I remember it more than he probably does. But I had an opportunity to actually go to church with Ray Gebauer. And then, you know, we started talking. And just like everybody does, we've been in business for 20-some-odd years. They kind of move their own different way. And I called Ray just to kind of fill him in on some of the things that we were working on. I heard a little bit about some of the stuff that he was doing. So I said, you know, let me tell you a little bit about what we have going on over here. And when we got into the Building Fortunes radio side, I said, you know, there's a lot of people that are really looking for a leader. There's a lot of people that would love to be able to work with someone like you. And you can make a difference in a lot of people's lives. So let's do some radio shows. Well, it turned into a weekly radio show. And if you go back to buildingfortunesradio.com, /Ray-Gebauer, you'll be able to hear this as well as all the previous radio shows that we've done over the many years. So Ray likes acronyms. Like, acronyms are something for Ray, and we started doing different acronyms, and this time we're on the acronym TARGET, T-A-R-G-E-T. He does three per letter, and we're winding down the last letter, and we are on the second T in the acronym for TARGET. And he'll go over some of the things he's going to go over, but I just wanted to say, if you want to hear these all over again, go back to buildingfortunesradio.com /Ray-Gebauer, and you'll be able to hear this as well as previous shows as well. So, Mr. Ray Gebauer, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Well, thank you, Peter. I appreciate the introduction. Appreciate you and all you're doing. And, of course, the reason we do what we do is because we believe we can help make the world a better place, including your personal world as a listener. And because we all want the same thing. We want the rest of our life to be the best of our life. We want to be happy. We want to feel fully alive. And that's why I do this, to help people to get more of what they really want, not just survive. 78% of working adults are just living paycheck to paycheck, which means they're in a survival mode, you know, and it's hard to think big and dream and when you're just, you know, trying to keep your head above water. So, like Peter said, we're going through the acronym TARGET, you know, different aspects of being on target, hitting your target, and going through each letter, you know, 3 weeks on each letter, to run the final letter and the second T in that final letter, the T. Last week, the word was transcend, and this week, I'll tell you in a second, but just for the fun of it, let's have Peter make his best guess. What word do you think I'm going to talk about today?
You know, I don't remember if I used the word train in the first T, but so I'm going to go for train for my second T.
Okay, well, good guess. That's relevant, and I think that's when you guessed it. But yeah, I got it.
I don't remember. We skipped a week, yeah. So going back 2 weeks. I usually try to suppress my wrong. I try to suppress my wrong answers. Something psychological.
Yeah. Well, before I get into it, let me introduce with a story that just happened today. And so it's pretty dramatic and really quite serious. I have a good friend that I met last year, and she's actually a civil engineer, been doing it for 37 years, very successful. And she's on the verge of retiring. She's finishing up her last project, which is 85% done. And this last project happens to be in Africa. Well, a couple of weeks ago, there was some kind of emergency with the workers. She has 125 workers. And so she flew out the next day. That was expensive to Africa. I think it was about a $4,400 ticket. But anyway, she took care of it. She actually met with the king of the country, and everything was fine. And then she was scheduled to come back. And then about a week ago, a tragedy happened. They're building a shopping mall and apartment buildings, and the crane fell over. And in the process, and at the time, it was moving a big load of concrete, which unfortunately landed on five of the workers. They all got rushed to the hospital. Three of them died. Two of them are still in a coma. And she was, you know, grief-stricken, and so she delayed her flight back. She's like leaving the next day, and she delayed it for about a week because, you know, of what happened. But then yesterday it got worse because then the police showed up, took her to court, and the judge said she cannot leave. They put her in jail. She can't leave the country until she comes up with $50,000 for each of the five families, which is $250,000. And she has no access to...
Can I interrupt you for a second? I lost the connection between her and the crane. You said a crane fell? And what was her role?
This is her last project. She's a civil engineer, and they're building all these buildings.
Oh, she's building something. Okay, so she's a project manager of sorts. So she's involved in the project, a construction project.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay. Got it, okay. And then there was a horrible accident. Some people are hurt, and now they're holding her responsible.
Yeah, three of them died. And so the judge, I guess when some of these countries like Africa, it's unpredictable. And so he said, well, until you compensate the families, then you can't leave. And she, fortunately, she has the money. She could do it, but the bank won't do anything until she shows up at the bank because it's high security, you know, she has to scan her eyeball and her thumbprint. And so it's a catch 22. So, and she's stuck in jail. it's still unresolved, and, you know, it's really a bad situation. And she's a good friend of mine. Hopefully we'll have a positive report next week. But the reason I tell you that story is to illustrate a really important point, and reminds me of a book I read in 1984, 85 by Scott called The Road Less Traveled. And I still remember the first three words that struck me odd at the time, that the first three words in the book was, life is difficult. And another way of saying it, we all have trouble. And that's the word for today. It's trouble with the capital T. So she's in trouble. Sometimes we're bringing on ourselves, and sometimes you're like the innocent bystander. And I had a friend who I've known for 50 years. You know, she was sitting in her living room and a car crashed through, you know, the house, and she's been permanently injured. It wasn't her fault, but, you know, that's trouble. So people have health problems. They have financial problems. So problems is another word for trouble. So we all encounter trouble. So what's good about trouble? is there some gold there? Well, actually, there is, because it's a universal situation. We all have our times of trouble. Sometimes we're like, we're living in paradise and everything's wonderful. It could hardly be better. We're happy and grateful. And sometimes, you know, you fall from the top of the mountain like I have, and then all of a sudden you're at the bottom and you're in the pits. So I'm going to talk about this in three respects. First of all, you have trouble. We all have trouble. Maybe you're not in big trouble right now, but it may be around the corner. And sometimes we feel like I do. I've had more than my fair share of trouble. But it's inevitable. But the good thing about trouble is, to tie it to one of my favorite phrases, what doesn't kill you will make you stronger. So if you have a good, positive attitude, that good can come out of this. It's a growing opportunity. It can be a good thing. When you, for example, like weightlifting, you're causing trouble, in a sense, for your muscles by making it push so much weight. And so it's stress, you know, it's a sort of a problem for them, but, you know, they make it through there and then they adapt. Well, if the guy's going to keep doing this, we got to get bigger and stronger so it's not so much trouble to lift these stupid weights, you know. So good comes out of that trouble. But in the bigger picture, with any problem, there's potential good, especially if we are looking forward and expecting it, and it may not be obvious. It might be a horrible problem, but I like to call it a UFO setting. UFO standing, in this case, for unexpected face opportunity. So when you have a big trouble, problem, issue, that's an unexpected opportunity to have faith that not only can you overcome it and become stronger through it, but that you can grow through it and be an overcomer. You know, it's just another opportunity to grow stronger, but it's not going to happen automatically unless you have faith that you can do it, that you can be an overcomer. You can handle it and grow through it. And I believe one of the best tools we have to optimize benefits from problems is tapping into the power of what I call the four dimensions of love, which is stated as the greatest commandment in the Bible, which is to love, particularly to love in all four dimensions. So when you look at those distinctions, the four dimensions, and apply love in that respect, that empowers you to handle any problem in the best possible way and probably accelerate you getting through it. So if you haven't heard this before, the four elements or distinctions or dimensions of love are four C's: the caring, connecting, committing, and creating value. So when you're facing a problem or a friend's facing a problem, when you look at the situation from that perspective, first of all, you have to care about being an overcomer. Some people say, oh, well, this is hopeless, and they just give up and say, whatever. And they just don't feel like they have what it takes. And you may not have what it takes on your own. That's why you connect with other people who can help you. You know, you get advice or wisdom or coaching or, you know, some kind of resource. So you got to care if you want any chance of solving that trouble, that problem, the pain that you're in. And then you got to connect. That's the second element or dimension. You got to connect with the right resources, the right people. Connecting to God, asking God for help. That's a good idea. You've got to be committed to solving this problem, because, you know, you don't want trouble to go on the rest of your life. If possible, you want to get it solved. So you have to be committed to do whatever it takes. And like that, my favorite statement from T.R. Becker that I learned in the warrior camp I went to in the week training. over, under, around, or through, whatever it, I will do. So that's a good way to state your the fact that you're committed. You're a warrior. Sometimes we need to be the wise person or the lover, but this, in some cases you got to be the warrior and just win, you know, fight to win. Which, by the way, just to put a plug into something along that line, you really, really need to see the movie Avatar, The Way of Water. I've seen it 3 times myself, and part of it is about the fight and winning the fight and the commitment. It's even more so about the family and working together, how we need each other, and family is your fortress. It's an extraordinary movie. I'm going to see it a 4th time. So I would recommend that as a resource for your personal development. And it's just, plus the scenery and everything is just unbelievable. It's the most extraordinary movie I've ever seen. So that itself can be a resource for dealing with trouble. It's very inspiring. And then the fourth dimension of love is creating value. So when you're in trouble, you're in a big problem, you've got to think in terms of how can I create value. Sometimes when you create the right kind of value, that's the way out of the problem or a way to solve the problem. So trust me that when you apply those 4 elements to any situation, any problem, whether it's a financial problem or a relationship problem or a health problem, that will optimize, maximize your ability to overcome that problem and gain out of it. Actually, so in the end, you're better off having gone through that trouble. So that's one application you're taking it personally. Number 2 is not only do you have problems. I remember when I was in high school in a musical. I just called it Music Man, and there was part about trouble with a capital T. You know? I remember that part. But, you know, people, you know, we all have problems, like I said, but sometimes it's people you know, they're in the middle of a problem. And, but most people, they don't reach out for help. Maybe they reach out and they complain, but you need to connect with other people. So if you know, so people you know that have problems, you know, they don't realize it's an opportunity for them to grow and become better. And if it's a problem that you're in a position to help solve, let's say someone is overweight. So that's a problem. That's not a good place to be. You know, it's a huge risk factor for diabetes and cancer and heart disease and stroke and everything else. Well, if you have a service or product that can address their problem, that's your opportunity to solve their problem. And out of that, it could be a win-win. So you can help them with that problem, whatever it is, with your service or product, and then you come out ahead because you helped. Usually you're compensated, or even if it's not a financial situation, you're still compensated emotionally because you were a loving person and you created value. You cared, you connected, you committed, and you create value sometimes just by listening and being there. That can help the person, you know, rise above the problem or solve the problem because somebody cared. People don't care so much what you know. They care about how they feel and how much you care about them. So from a business perspective, every problem is someone else's opportunity. If your transmission goes out, that's a problem for you, but that's an opportunity for the mechanic, right? Now, you don't want to think only in terms of transactions like that, but if you're in a legitimate business where you're trying to help people, if you have a good product or service, then who is going to be most open for your service? The people that are already having problems. If someone says, hey, I'm okay, I'm fine, you know, then it's not much opening there. But if you can identify people's problems, and sometimes that's just from listening and asking questions, you say, oh, well, you said you have this challenge, you know. Would you be open to some kind of a possibility, some kind of solution? If you say yes, well, yeah, if there was a way to solve this problem, how soon would you want to take care of it? And so it's a soft, gentle, honoring way to help people where it doesn't feel like a sales presentation. Because people don't want to be sold, but they do want to buy if they see it solves their problem, their whatever trouble that they're in. So that's another positive way to look at trouble or problems. It's an opportunity to serve and help, and can be a win-win. Both sides, particularly the person in trouble, can grow from it if they have the right attitude and see and look for whatever the lesson or gain or the insight that can come out of dealing with that problem. Because I really believe it's true that what doesn't kill you can make you stronger. And I've been in really difficult situations myself where I was, for example, where I was unjustly put into prison, not having done anything wrong. But, so I kept saying, well, what doesn't kill me will make me stronger. And so I made it into a good experience. And so in any situation we can do that, especially when we come from the place of faith and confidence, and including the four dimensions of love, of caring, connecting, committing, and creating value. So that's my take on number two, dealing with others who have problems. Oh, one other aspect, going back to the four dimensions, starting with caring. Another word for caring is compassion. So even if you cannot directly help a person with their problem or the trouble they're in, just being a person of love and having compassion, you care. And part of how you express your caring is you feel with them and you have compassion for them. You spend time with them. When my friend told me what happened with the five workers, the three of which were killed, she was crying, and I cried too. I don't even know those people. I mean, they're her workers, across the other side of the planet. But I felt her pain, and so I had compassion. So if that's all that you can do, then that's enough. If that's all you can do, now you want to connect and you want to commit to help if you can. You want to create value, which even listening and compassion itself creates value. And maybe other ways you can create value. But it always really should start with that, with the compassion, the caring. That's the first dimension of love. Buddhism is real strong on compassion. So is the Bible. Yeah. The love is the most important thing. Even the Beatles said that, right? Everyone agrees love is the most important thing. But until you're able to articulate it better in the distinctions of it, it's just sort of a vague, fuzzy concept. As we say, I love ice cream, I love pizza, I love my car, I love my jacket, I love this meal. That's not love at all. That means you like it. And unfortunately, most people are operating on a very faulty, shallow definition of love, which means you like something. You go to the dictionary, go to Google, ask Google, and they'll tell you love is an affection, it's a feeling. No, it's not that at all. Feelings come out of love, but as long as you're assuming that love is a feeling, you're not really able to be fully loving, at least deliberately and consciously. So it's whether you're applying it in your situation, your trouble that you're in, or the next time you have trouble or problems, or for a friend, I think that's the most fundamental, foundational place to start. Looking to how the four C's, the four dimensions of love, apply in that situation. Because no one likes problems. People hate problems, right? People don't like to be in trouble. But we all have it. Sometimes it's minor stuff, and sometimes it's major. But it still needs to be dealt with. So the third application of dealing with trouble and problems is on a global scale. It's no surprise that any of us, we all know that not only do you and your friends have problems, the whole world is in trouble. There's so many huge, unbelievable, horrific problems, evil things happening. And it's easy to feel helpless, like, wow, that's a huge problem. Human trafficking, you know, and just, you know, some countries like China, from what I understand, they're killing people and even children, harvesting their organs and selling them, you know, it's even happening in the United States. You know, they try to hide it, but that's what they're doing. But so anyway, so what can we do about that? We say, oh my, that's terrible, that's horrible, and then just go on. Well, we can have an influence even on things where you can't directly help solve the problem. First, by being aware of it, having compassion for the people that are victimized by it. You can pray, ask God to intervene. Sometimes he does. Sometimes it takes a long time. But I think our collective prayers and intention, our compassion makes a difference, including just on a energetic, vibrational level. When you have a concern about some national or global problem, a war or poverty or pollution, whatever it is, that even though you may not see the impact that you can have by doing this, I believe, you know, what you do can count. Just like a drop of water isn't that much, but you can't have an ocean without lots of drops of water. All the drops contribute. So you get enough drops, then you have, you know, a bunch of water or even an ocean. And a good illustration of this is a historical example that they've called the 100th monkey. Sociologists observed in one of these islands out there in the Pacific. I don't remember exactly where. They were observing these monkeys. And the monkeys like to eat yams, but, you know, taking them up there in the sand, and it's, you know, difficult to eat something that's covered with sand. And one day, one of the monkeys somehow discovered that if they dipped the yam into the water, the sand would disappear. So he started washing his yams. And then the mother noticed that. She said, oh, that's a pretty good idea. So they started doing it. And then pretty soon, the whole tribe of monkeys were washing their yams. Well, the main part of the story isn't that. It's that once that whole island that totally separated from other islands were washing their yams, get the sand off, then all of a sudden, there in other islands at a great distance away, the monkeys all started doing it in the other islands as well. How did they know to do that? Well, because when you have enough people focused on something that's good, that can spread to the quantum field. And so they call it the 100th monkey. So when you have enough, like when you finally got to 100 monkeys doing this, then all of a sudden this awareness of this possibility of washing your yams instead of trying to brush off the sand, that sort of spread to other islands. And they've seen the same thing happen with humans. Not with washing yams, but with other things. And when a discovery is made, you know, like a light bulb. Evidently, it's like four other people discovered it at the same time. I mean, Edison tends to get all the credit. But so how we feel, and you know, the number of people in agreement and alignment can have a global impact. We may not see it, but it is there. It's like you may not see the sun because it's night, because the earth's blocking, but the sun's still there. You can't see the stars during the day, but they're still there. You just don't see them. So that's the message for today. It's all about trouble and how to handle trouble or problems. We usually use the word problems, but it's sort of the same thing. And applying the four dimensions of love in every situation, even on the global scale. You care, you have compassion, you connect to certain, the right people and resources when you can. You're committed to doing what you can. You do your part, and you do what you can to create value. So that's the answer to everything, in my opinion. That's just my opinion, though. But anyway, I highly recommend that being your approach to life. LOL, love optimizes life. So I'm out of time here, but Peter, any comments or questions?
No, very interesting story. I hope you keep us up to date on the way this thing works. And
yeah.
I know it's a horrible situation, and unfortunately it's
yeah.
it's life as it happens. And what do you say? I mean, your whole life can change on a dime, you know, and sometimes it has nothing to do with anything you might have done personally, but it can have a big impact. So one of the reasons why we do these shows. So, but yeah, please
yeah.
keep us up to date. Now, for those people that want to learn more about what you're doing or work with you, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, no problem with that. Just here's my phone number. Just call or text me anytime. If it's the middle of the night, no problem. If my phone's off, then I'll get back to you. So my number is 360-583-2227. So 360-583-2227. And then we'd have a conversation for possibility. You tell me what your trouble is or your problems or your challenges. And a pretty good chance that I can help you out. But I guarantee this, I can't help you if you don't call. So the ball's in your court. I serve the ball to you. And either you hit it back or you just, you know, do whatever, you know. But we're here to make the world a better place, including your world. And that's what we're all doing. And we can't do it ourselves. We need other people, and I could be one of those people for you. If you reach out, reach back. Please, I've opened the door. Now it's your turn to take action and come through. So that's
Perfect.
It tonight. Love you all. Appreciate you. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk next week.
We'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.